Oh, we need to be persuaded of the things of the scriptures. I trust that each one of us can open the scriptures and show somebody how you can be saved and how they can know they're saved. I hope we can all take our scriptures and say to somebody, look, this is how I know the word, the Lord is coming again. We must be persuaded of the scriptures, persuaded of these things. And they also embraced them. They held them close. They believed them. They acted upon them. There are practical ramifications of many of the doctrines of the scriptures. We need to live them out. Very often the problem among the in the world today are Christians who the Christ that we proclaim is not the Christ that we show forth to them. In other words, too often what we say we believe and how we behave, they do not mesh. But if I'm truly pilgrim, if I'm truly a stranger, these things will start to mesh for the honor and the glory of God. So these Old Testament saints, they not only embraced them, but they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims. Anybody looking at them could see that there was a difference between them. Anybody looking at them could see that they were not marching according to the drumbeat of this world. Here were people who are living differently. Can imagine somebody looking at Abraham and saying, now where are you going? He's saying, I do not know. God tell me to go. How far are you going? I do not know. I am trusting God. Where is it going to end up? I am not sure, but I know that my God knows. And here is a man who went out embracing the promises. And someone who confess here, strangers and pilgrims. We need to confess that as well. And we need to live as if that is who we are. Now an illustration from Numbers chapter 21. The children of Israel, remember that they were in Egypt. They were being brought out of Egypt. They spent 40 years in the wilderness. And then they were going towards the land. There was a part called this side of the Jordan. And then there was the land itself. God's desire was that they should leave Egypt and they go into the land. There in that land, there would have been a separate people. Remember, there's a verse, I think, and also in Numbers, which say they were not to be counted as with the nations. They were to be distinct, those separated unto God. In Numbers 21 and in verse 21, we read of someone they met as they were passing. It says there, Numbers 21:21, and Israel sent messengers unto Sihon, king of the Amorites, saying, let me pass through thy land. We will not turn into the fields or into the vineyards. We will not drink of the waters of the well. But we will go along by the king's highway until we pass thy borders. And Sihon would not suffer Israel to pass through his border. This is a picture of us today in the world. And we want to suggest that we can learn a few lessons from what happened when Israel tried to pass through. They could have easily said, look, we are God's people. God has given this land. Move out the way or we are going to blow you out. But no, they sent messengers. They sent a message of peace. Allow us to pass. Let me pass through thy land. They did not want that land. I believe it was a land that had many attractions. As we pass, we are going to find the land of this world, many attractions. But the true pilgrim, he's not going to be held by this. There's a sense in which they would say, look, yes, the land of Sihon, it might be beautiful, it might have all the crops, it might have all the amenities, whatever, but we have a better land. We have Canaan land. And they were not going to stop there. But it was not only the land, there were the fields. And I believe those fields were brimming with a good harvest. I believe when they passed across that there were a crop there ready for the taking. And they would say to the king, look, we do not want to be in your fields. You keep your fields. We are going right through. You know, in the land of Canaan, there were the fields of Boaz. If you were to read in the book of Ruth, you would read of this man there, a mighty man of wealth, a picture of the Lord Jesus. And he had these fields. And Ruth was able to go into that field, and she was able to beat out. She was able to glean. She was able to get enough for herself and also for her mother-in-law. There's abundance of provision in the fields which God has given. But then they say, we would not take of your vineyards. The wine in scripture often speaks of joy. We are not going to be eating of the grapes which we see as we pass by. God has already given us a foretaste of what is in Canaan land. Remember when the spies went out? When the spies came back and they had the grapes of Eshcol. Grapes that it tells us that it took two men to carry one bunch. And they're saying, look, that is the land that we're going to. We do not want this which you have here in your land. But then there was the waters. Very important for people traveling through the wilderness. So they would say, O Sion, we are not going to be drinking waters of your wells. Ahead of them, in the land of Canaan, there were the wells of Bethlehem. Waters so great that even though the enemy had them, David would say, oh, that I could have a drink from the waters of Bethlehem. Everything that is in the land is far greater than that which the world had to offer. Oh, let us remember, everything that God has for us is far better than what we have. I'm reminded of I wrote a little note where, in regards to the prodigal son, when he came back, many of those things that young people love, his father had provided for him. Young people love jewelry. Put that ring on his finger. Young people like food. Bring forth the fatty calf and kill him. Young people, you like clothes. A new raiment, the best raiment. Put it upon him. And I believe there are almost seven things there that young people love that the father provided for this son. You can search them out. But the point is, God has given an abundant provision to us. We do not need to stand where the world has its joys and its things that it provides. We have something far better given to us. And I'm thinking of the verse in 1 Peter chapter 1. Where we are told it is to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Let us look there. Let us look to heaven. Let us long for that inheritance. Let us long for the time when the Lord Jesus is going to come and that which is reserved for us, we can enter into it. It is reserved for us. Let us also reserve ourselves for that place.